When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Final Fantasy IX is over, but we are just getting started here at Post Show Recaps. I am your host, Brooklyn Zed, here with my co-host, Adam H., where we are covering Disc 3 of Final Fantasy, sneaking in one more podcast here before the end of the year for you all. Thank you so much for being on this journey with us this year. Adam, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Zed. It's been so long since we recorded. We left it such a cliffhanger moment. I don't know if the people are going to be okay with how we left it, but I got news for him. We're just here to talk for 45 minutes about Tetramaster. That's all we're doing here today. This is the Tetramaster, Oops All Tetramaster podcast is what this is.
Listen, some people will love it, and some people just turned off the podcast.
Who are the people that would love it? I need a name. I need at least one name. Who would love All Tetramaster podcast?
Our friend Josh, a.k.a. EPLP, loves Tetramaster. He okay. did get all the cards once upon a time.
I don't even know how you would get them. Like, I just have no idea.
With way more patience than either you or I have.
Yeah, especially me. There's no way that I mean, I barely have patience to do the things that I like am actually required to do, let alone the optional, side quests here. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is fun. We'll see how far we can get here. Some of this, admittedly, is still going to be about game that I played a long, long time ago. We're not quite at the full month point for some of this stuff, but we're still a couple weeks out from this. And of course, we'll get into some more recent stuff eventually, probably near the end. But I'm still loving the game. We had a great time talking about the ridiculous love letter sequence last podcast. If you missed that, definitely go check it out. But I'm excited to continue on and escalate this story. The big Kuja episode, more or less, is probably what this is going to be. Friggin' love Kuja. What a guy. He's just misunderstood.
What a guy, indeed. I mean, listen, we have moved past the era where all of our villains have to be queer-coded, but we do love a queer-coded villain.
Well, are we like far enough past the curve here where this is like not problematic and instead just iconic? Like, are we there yet? I don't know. We might be.
I want to say yes. You know, we now can have villains that aren't gay, or they're gay, but that's not what's bad about them. And they can just be explicitly gay and they don't have to be, you know, gay.
No one else saw that, right? That
yeah, no one else is going to get that joke.
That's just for us, but you know.
You and the community out there know what I did with my hand when I said that.
Yeah, everyone knows. Everyone knows. And if you don't know, then maybe coo yourself.
If you don't know, then I'm not talking to you.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I mean,
that moment wasn't for you.
Okay. Oh my god. A lot of Kuja going on here. The fate of the world is at stake. And we gotta do some wild stuff. But of course, where we left off, said, if unless you want to do a little bit more on Tetra Master before we
I think we're all right.
We're okay on the Tetra Master stuff. Are there other like games and other Final Fantasy games, like other like card games, or is it just Triple Triad and Tetra Master? Like, is there an equivalent in other games?
Well, Final Fantasy X has the sport Blitzball.
Okay.
Which some people love and I hate.
Okay. Blitzball. Is it, yeah, I mean,
sort of like soccer but played underwater.
Oh. How do you breathe?
Fear of water in a stadium.
So
don't ask me to explain the science. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so we can ignore the science. That's fine. I do that all the time. That's fine. We'll just ignore the science.
Yeah, that's a Final Fantasy, a significant mini game, mega game. Mini? What's the opposite of mini? Mega?
Maxi game?
Maxi game? Yeah, maxi game.
I don't know.
That you can play throughout Final Fantasy X. But
just to be very clear, this takes place in a giant stadium with a suspended ball, and you can play it throughout? Like randos will just play this?
Well, you don't go up and talk to random people, but anytime you're at a save point, if I remember correctly, you can just choose to go play it. And there are a couple times that you have to play it.
Okay.
And it's a thing you can get really good at, and then once you're really good at it, it's really easy because your players are better than everybody else. But no, thank you.
Are we ever playing Final Fantasy X for the podcast? Is that ever happening? Is that on the list?
So. I don't think you'd like it, and okay. It's pretty low on my list, so I would say no.
All right, fair enough. Well, I will say I'm really liking Final Fantasy IX. This is a great time. Where we left off, Alexandria was in some real trouble as Kuja was too upset about how auspicious this day was starting, and he's like, well, time to mess this up here pretty good. He summons Bahamut, and we assigned our tasks to people, and that's sort of where we left off here. And Dagger sort of gets a little knocked out here in a sense, because we see light sort of emitting from her, and then we flash to Iko, and we see light sort of emitting from her as well, and so we get sort of this like little summoner moment for the girls here, and they both basically get summoned together, and then we do a little Hail Mary here together as they're together and like start this little prayer that's going on here.
Prayers for the summoner girlies
Anyway, and they do their big summons right together, and we have to deal with Bahamut, who's like friend for the city, and they summon Alexander for Alexandria. So if you remember my confusion of last time, we have an Alexander which is being summoned to protect Alexandria, but Alexander the summon is Alexandria with wings. That, like, or at least my understanding of this is Alexander is just take the city wings. That's
well,
situation.
You know, it's like how you name places after saints and stuff.
But
so Alexandria is the city of Alexander.
But
built in his image or vice versa. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's not like a second Alexandria that has wings. It's wings on this current Alexandria.
Listen,
so don't, is Alexander
don't question. It's a, just it's fantasy.
Is it just the wings? Is it like does the city sprout, or is it an entirely different city? That's okay, whatever.
We summon, we'd have to be summoners to know. We'd have to have horns and go to summoner school.
I got my horn removed, though. That's the thing.
See, that was your first mistake.
Yeah, that was my first mistake. My hornectomy. It was really, I had to get that out of there. Okay, so the castle grows wings. Great. And Kuja's like, well, dang, they're able to stand up to Bahamut, but I got him this time because I'm going to summon Eyeball. And we see an eyeball appear from the sky. We briefly saw this previously in the game, and I didn't understand it then. Not going to pretend that I understand it now. I don't get this whatsoever, because we go into the eyeball, and it sort of like shoots down this ray of energy. And then we go into the eyeball, and we see Rando Mind Flayer boss guy, Dreadlord here, is basically like, man, freaking Kuja. I give him everything, and all he wants is this one Gaia. That's all he wants. He wants to spend this time on this Gaia. What a freaking Gaia guy. Okay. This is just, this is ridiculous that he wants to do this. This is Kuja's boss, or who is this? This is a new unknown villain, because the stakes were not sufficiently raised with Kuja. Remember when LeBron was the biggest baddie of them all? Uh-huh. And we thought, man, Beatrix is going to whoop our asses because LeBron is such a big baddie. Turns out, LeBron's boss, or whatever, the person who influenced LeBron, is not even the biggest bad of the game. We have Kuja's boss. We keep going up the hierarchy, and his boss is in an eyeball. What is the eyeball? Is like a ship or something along those lines that can peer down onto Gaia, and then he's
it's
upset.
Like, it's like Sauron and Saruman, right? I don't know. I'm not a Lord of the Rings
boy,
person.
Boy, am I the wrong person to confirm. Confirm those things. Sauron,
that's like
the
two generations removed from you if we're talking Lord of the Rings and then Harry Potter, and or three, and then Twilight, and then Percy Jackson.
Okay, there are probably like other things in between.
But if we're talking major, well, fantasy, I actually would take Twilight out of that. Get it out of here. I don't want to talk about it.
How dare you? How dare you take
it's
Twilight?
Not the same
how
thing.
Dare you? Unbelievable. Wow. I don't even know what to say to you. I'm so upset.
Okay, we'll have to litigate this in Hue court. Let's
okay, so Kuja has a boss, and he's upset at Kuja, and also we like barely see this boss again, so this makes no sense to me, but whatever. Okay. Sid and the gang arrive at the castle. Remember when we took our little side trip to Trino to compete in a card tournament because we thought that was important? It really wasn't, and here we are back at the castle. And they follow Garnet up all the way up to the stairs, and then when everyone, and I mean everyone, gets up to this point, Pia's like, it's just me from here on out. You guys go back. I don't need you. It's just I need to do this alone. And
Final Fantasy's favorite thing to do.
We have to split the
like,
party.
No, no, no.
Okay, only some of us can be in the next upcoming combat sequence. Okay, it's not going to be you. It's going to be me. You have to go. And Freya's like, unbelievable. You're abandoning me again. The Flaming Ginger is like, whatever. I don't care about you. This all sucks. Vivi is like, but Pia, I want to go. And Pia's like, no, man, can't do it.
You're nine.
Pia runs up. You're nine. This is ridiculous. You can't do it. Okay. At the top, Aiko and Dagger are there's like explosions from all over the place. They're like shooting out little thing. They begin to fall, and Pia saves them dramatically as we see him flying from the rope. Very reminiscent of some of the early parts of this game, actually. There's a big explosion, and then we fade. And where we pick back up is randomly in Lindblom, where Pia's like, I have to find Dagger. How did we get here? How did we get to Lindblom? Who knows? We'll slowly unveil it as we go forward here, but we're in Lindblom, and Pia basically is trying to find Dagger. We get a couple of different active time events throughout this next sequence. The first one, Quinna washing ashore. I love this. We're in Lindblom. We see a couple just like random sailor soldier people who are going over like, what in the world is this that washed ashore? It's probably dead. And then we see Quinna pop up and they're like, oh my God. So Quinna's in Lindblom. I don't understand how Quinna is getting from place to place and just following us all over town.
You cannot question the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-eating Quinna.
All-eating. What's the, you know, what's the version of omniscient that is eating? Omnipotent. There's something. Okay.
Yeah, omnipotent.
So Quinna washes ashore.
Well, omnivorous. There is the word omnivore for eating.
There is, yeah, I guess that word does exist already.
Omni is in fact the start of the word omnivore.
Yeah,
the word already exists.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not
omnipotent, omniscient, omnivorous, omnipresent. Quinna.
Quinna is they first need to go see Cid. So P is still trying to find Dagger, but he has to go see Cid first. And Cid has one of the coolest setups I've ever seen. And so we get down first in there's like a conference room type situation where everyone is waiting. There's like a big strategy table, whatever. And then they're like, well, Cid's upstairs, you idiot. So what are you doing in here? So I go upstairs and I talk to Cid and says like, great, you're here. Time to start the meeting. That's downstairs. And I was like, I was just in that room. Like, why could we not have met there? Then he's like, go walk down there. And so I walk down there. And then he's still not even there. We're in the conference room. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Let's start this meeting. And then Cid lifts down. His throne goes from level to level. First of all, why could I not have hitched a ride?
Truly, why have we been running up and down the stairs and the elevators all these times?
I did this like three times. Why did I do this? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Great. We go, we're riding down. We're about to start this meeting that Cid is running. And he's like, is everyone here? And we're like, no, Dagger's gone. Dagger's not here. And like, yeah, we were trying to find Dagger, but he wouldn't let us because we had to do this stupid meeting. And so we have to go find Dagger, except we're not going to be the ones to do it. Iko is very important, and she's going to go do it. And she knows, okay, Dagger's probably upstairs. That's where I'm going to go. We flash to Dagger, who is having one of the worst existential imposter syndrome crises I have ever seen. She was queen for, like, 4 seconds, and then everything blew up. So admittedly, probably the worst queen ever, if I had to, you know, put a number on it.
I mean, she inherited a pretty difficult situation in her
life. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. You're queen for one day, the whole city blows up, right? Like, that's, you know, that's tough. What can you do? Okay, so we're back down in the meeting. And also, we continue the meeting without Dagger and Iko. Like, why did we send them out? Whatever. We continue the meeting. And Cid is like, listen, Kuja escaped in the Hildegard 1, and there were black mages in there. And Vivi's like, no, not the black mages, no!
I just got out of my last existential crisis.
Oh, anything but them, we can't do more of this. He's like, no, it can't be. He's like, yeah, they're there. That's, you know, that's tough. We also at this point flash to Kuja reuniting with Zorn and Thorn. For some reason, they're involved and in the mix. I don't know why. Zorn and Thorn, I thought they were just bumbling it into the queen, and now it turns out they're even more involved with Kuja. I don't even know. Okay. Iko rushes in. We're still mid-meeting, right? Talking about Kuja, mid-meeting to talk strategy. Iko rushes in and is like, Dagger's here, but she lost her voice. She is in the guest room. She's in the guest room. If you're looking for Dagger, you will find her in the guest room.
Go west to the west.
And Cid is like, okay guys, let's push this meeting back. Can we circle back in the new year? Something that I did for all of the meetings that I was a part of the past month. We're circling back. We're circling back in the new year. Let's push the meeting and go find Dagger in the guest room. She lost her voice. This is terrible news. And then We take Doc Tot with us, and the whole group goes to the guest room to figure out what's going on with Dagger. And she lost her voice. So tragic. You think, oh, she's a little sick. She's a little hoarse. She did a lot of yelling. No. This is the classic grieving so much you lost your voice ailment that Doc Tot immediately spots, because this man is a doctor, and he knows these types of things. And he's like, well, when she overcomes this grief, then her voice will return. Tough ailment diagnosis here for Dr. Tot. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this in my life. So have you ever lost your voice because you were so grief-stricken?
Gosh, no.
Yeah. Dagger's gone through a lot, and she's lost her voice. And Doc Tot's able to, you know, tell her exactly what's going on. But meanwhile, let's pick back up with our meeting, because we basically resolved everything we could do there. So it's time to go meet again. We're back to the meeting room. And Sid, who, by the way, is still a bug. I probably should have reminded us all of that beforehand, knowing where this goes here. But he's still a bug. He's an Oglop.
Quack!
Quack! Still a bug. And he's like, hey, guys, it would be really cool if I were not a bug. That would be sick. And we're like, yeah, that would be great. Well, how do we do it? And he's like, well, you could either go to the person who turned me into a bug. That's a foolproof method, works every single time. Whoever turned you into this bug, let's get them in here. They can help us figure it out. And that works 100% of the time. Or back in ye olden days, we had these suspiciously named potions that if you put them at a 5-2-3 ratio are almost guaranteed to turn us out of this bug form and back into a man.
And we're you don't have to be a chemist or a doctor or a physicist.
No. Absolutely not. All we need is 5 parts unusual potion, 2 parts beautiful potion, and 3 parts strange potion.
Classic beautiful potion.
If you can find those 3 things, then I will not be a man. Don't even worry about that first option that has worked every single time. We want this one. And even though we don't really know where the potions are, you can go find them. And then I'm going to turn back into a guy. So I understand the state of the world is kind of a disaster. Cities are blowing up. But I need the unusual potion.
Would like to be a human again.
I sure would like human to be again. A human again here. And the only clue that we have here is that Uncle Cinna has the unusual potion. That's the only thing that we're told at the start of this little endeavor. And I'm like, fetch quest. Here we go. We're going to find some random stuff from some random people. And the good news is that starting with Cinna allows you to find pretty quickly 2 of the 3, as the other one is in the close proximity. The other one is just simply not. Simply, it's just not. Okay, so Cinna has the unusual grit. We also get kind of an active time event here of the cutscene of Cinna with a hammer. Marcus needs a hammer, and Cinna's like, this is my hammer, okay? You cannot have my hammer. We got a whole cutscene of that. So that's like Cinna's one personality trait. He has unusual potion, and he loves his hammer. I'm not saying that the two are related, but we do see them in back-to-back sequences. So I don't know. Make your own assumptions about this story here. I go all over town. I am asking everyone, have you seen any potions? Hey, you got any potions? You got any of that potion? No one
has. Hey, can I walk you home? Hey, can I walk you home? Hey, can I walk you home? Sorry, that's what it made me think of. That's not at all the same.
It's not, but it's certainly the same energy. It's, can I have your number? So eventually we have to find this rando named Allie, who is just an address in like the 3rd screen in the business district all the way down. And I'm like, please, do you have any potions? I was exhausted at this point. I started with the theater district, obviously, because we knew where Cinna was. We knew where Cinna was going to be able to have the potion. The other one was just like I think it was in the shop, like right across from the screen. I don't even know. It was like very close because I checked everywhere. I methodically was checking everyone because I was like, I don't know where it is. And if I miss it and then have to come back, I'm going to hate my life in ways that I don't think I'm ready to say on this podcast. So we do that. This rando alley is like, here's the beautiful potion. This was a long endeavor. I wanted this to take more time in the podcast recap because it'd be very easy to say I went and I found the potions, but that would not represent the like 20 minutes of work that it took to go talk to everyone and find the freaking potions. I don't know if there was an easier way to know who had them, or maybe I should have just assumed, oh, beautiful potion is probably going to be with that girl in the dress in town square. Like maybe that is what the game wanted me to do. And I don't know, but okay. Also, when we were in the theater district, we get to re-encounter Cal and Wei from Burmesia. The Burmesians are coming and they're like, hey, it was really cool that you kind of saved our whole town. And well, a ton of them died, but it was still cool, the, you know, what you did. And then we freaking cheaper by the half dozen this as five kids pop out of the screen, be like, mommy and daddy, hello. Five kids in the meantime. Did they just have these kids? Were these kids not there before? There's five kids. Said five kids is too many kids. I mean, I don't want to
listen. I agree.
On people can live their lives. For me, five kids is too many kids. How could people afford five kids? Like
in this economy,
I could barely afford a dog, let alone five.
That's exactly what I always say.
Like, the fact that I now am a two dog household is actually like a little problematic. Anyway, five kids, that's so many kids.
It's too many. You're outnumbered. You're way too outnumbered.
Yeah. Unless you like have them at like wildly different, you know what I mean? Like ages. Like if one of them is like more than 12 or 15 years older than the other, but then it's like the math is really, I don't know.
You're just dealing with babies for such a long time if you spread them out that much.
Yeah, unless maybe like you have like twins and then triplets the second time. But that would be a disaster.
Listen, I famously love and adore children and absolutely do not want children. This is, I think, a thing that is well known about me among people who know me at all. I fawn over babies like nobody's business. I think they're so freaking cute. I love taking care of children, and then I love giving them back to their parents and going back about my life.
Yeah.
Not being responsible 24/7 for keeping another human being alive. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I definitely do want kid. Like maybe kids, like that. It's one of those, the S is in parentheses type situation.
Parentheses, question mark.
Yeah, really does not need to be an S there in terms of a guarantee. It could just be kid.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. We have all of our potions. Remember, it's a 5-2-3 ratio of unusual, beautiful, and strange, I think is the whatever. We go back to Sid. We're like, we got the hookup. We did it. We have all of our potions. And he starts to drink. He's like, is this going to work? And I'm like, no, we had our foolproof plan. Like, why did we even go with that? We had our foolproof plan. This is going to work, maybe. He drinks the potion. He's like, what the heck? And then he turns into a frog.
Ribbit.
We get a frog. We get frog Sid.
Oh, no.
Doc Tot literally,
didn't work.
He just stands there and he's like, ha, that's wild. Oops. Doc Tot is like, what do you mean, oops? You just turned him into a frog. Okay. And Sid's like, well, that's enough of that side quest. I'm just going to be a frog for a while, and that'll just have to be what it is. Good for you, Sid. Would you rather be an Oglop or a frog? I feel like I'd rather be a frog.
Yeah, people like frogs a lot more than they like Oglops. Not that we have any interaction with the made-up creature of the Oglop, but within the world of Final Fantasy IX, people hate Oglops because they're bugs.
Yeah.
Frogs are cooler.
Frogs are cooler. And
he can still talk, and now he could jump really high.
He could talk as an Oglop too. The one thing I will say, immediately when he turns into a frog, my head is going, Quinna is gonna eat Sid.
That certainly wants to.
That is what's going to happen. We'll see that in just a second here. At this point, we're like, let's figure out what's going on with the Kuja situation. You need to go to the Black Mage Village. Okay, that's where we're gonna go because we think Kuja might be over there. We saw the Black Mages. Let's figure this out. And Vivi's like, oh my god, the Black Mage Village. I thought we were done. We have to go back. Black Mage Village. Good for them. I quickly pick up Quinna on the way because we saw Quinna walk in, and in my mind, I was like, well, let's go find Quinna, because at this point we see another active time event of Quinna here getting involved with the pickle lady. And apparently the pickle lady is like, here, come try our pickles. They're so good. And Quinna's like, okay, I'll try a pickle. And then the pickle lady is like, that'll be 100 gil for that one pickle that I said that you should try. And Quinna's like, well, I don't have any money. I just eat. Okay.
Is this? The Survivor auction?
Yeah. I don't have any money for your one pickle that you told me to try. I just eat. That's all that I do. Let me cook. Okay. And the pickle lady's like, absolutely not. You're like dead to me. And then of course I walk up and Pia's like, listen, it's 100 gil. Do you not? I have like $1 million. I can give you 100 gil, which is a ridiculous price for a pickle in the first place. I wouldn't pay 100 pennies for a pickle. Like, I mean, I also don't like pickles is the other thing. So.
I love pickles.
Why would you ruin such a good cucumber? Like, cucumbers are so delicious. Like, the snap and freshness of them. Why would I soak them in vinegar? Anyway, pickles are legitimately one of my least favorite foods. Actually, it's like pickles and then ketchup is also, like, way up there on the list. I just hate it. We save Quinna, and then Quinna's like, I will be with you forever. I love you. And Pia's like, don't feel obligated to, you know, if you got other stuff to do, like, you know, don't let me keep you from other stuff. Quinn is like, I will be by your side for the rest of forever. And I'm like, Quinn, you've been in and out of this party so many times. Like, there's no way you're staying forever. We'll see. To get to Black Mage Village, we are given a ship, the Blue Narcissus. I don't know where this name comes from, but the Blue Narcissus. Also, Blank is there because whenever we need an A squad going out and doing missions, we gotta have a B team that stays on the ship to protect the ship. This is one of my favorite things.
So you don't wipe your whole party out in one place at the same time, because then what do you do?
That's huge too. One of my there's a D&D campaign that I'm playing where we have a ship as well that we're kind of going around, and I love making the jokes of like, let's let the B team handle this. All the people we have, like a crew that stays on the ship. I'm like, what if they did a mission for a change? What if they actually did something? And said, no, we got every time. We have to deal with absolutely everything. Let's let the B team do it off screen one of these times. I don't think that Blank is going to do much there, but, and it's in this moment when Quinna sees Regent Sid the frog and is like, oh my God, I want to eat this frog more than anything. And Sid is like, I don't love the way that Quinna is looking at me right now. And Quinna's like, but it can talk. Do I have to not eat the frog? Cinna, okay, Vivi has the existential crisis over potentially like not existing anymore and people that look just like him going off and doing much evil things. Quinna is having the existential crisis over, should I eat this frog? It's different, but it's the same, really. Good for them. Zed, this is where we get the ship and we depart and we're going to Black Mage Village. And they just sort of let us loose. Here's your ship. Have fun.
The world is your oyster.
Have fun driving around on this ship. And almost immediately I realized to myself, I don't know where anything is. I mean, I have no clue where I am going right now. This is kind of a disaster. And I'm like driving around in this ship. I'm going all over the place. The world map is like not helpful whatsoever. It's just a map up there. I know like roughly the area, but then it took me forever to figure out where I was supposed to park. Like I found one beach. There was just like just a bunch of random territory over there. Like it wasn't like any of the stuff. It was just a random beach that I could like go around and do some like rando encounters in. And then I just tried to explore and I was like, this is so annoying. I eventually did find it. I'm just gonna say, I feel like this map is so unintuitive of where things are and my ability to navigate it. It might just be a fault of my own, but like the fact that this is a ship only over water and I couldn't like also go over land to do this, which like wouldn't make any sense as a ship, but also
the physics of airships in Final Fantasy games are always baffling.
Yeah, it's a little wild to me because it does seem like we always have to have this point where it's like, well, we can travel on water now, not land. You can travel over water, but only water. And then you have to find these nice little beaches to park at because that's the only place you can disembark from these. Okay, so we disembark. We are in the Black Mage Village. We go to the cemetery. We see number 288 is still there. Everyone else had left to go with Kuja. But you know, still there. Good for number 288. And it's just like, well, someone had to like stay back here, especially for the chocobo egg. What a freaking payoff this is. Is there like the chocobo egg is about to hatch, and we see a little cute baby chocobo be born work over in the stables. This is so incredible. We see the two black mages who were over there being like, yeah, well, we wanted to go with Kuja because he promised us a lot of things, and also we don't really want to stop, but also egg. So we had to deal with the egg. We kept it nice and warm by putting hay on top of it, and we did such a good job protecting this egg, and it hatched into a cute baby chocobo. How amazing. Also, Kuja has a secret palace in the desert in the quicksand, and so that's where you're probably going next, by the way. If you were looking for Kuja, he's in the desert. Go to the desert. There's a desert over there. Go find the desert.
Go west. Always go west.
We travel, we keep going. Great. I find this desert. The desert was not that hard to find. There's a bunch of quicksand. And I go down one and I get absolutely rocked by whatever this creature is. It just, I mean, a sandstorm, like one time takes me down to like 4 HP and then it does like a ton of attacks. And I was really in trouble. I think I had to go in a different one because the second one I went into, I went in just fine. Or maybe I had to fight that monster. I don't know. But there was something here that was very, very strong. I will say, up to this point, a real one of the reasons why I enjoyed this section so much, this and the last podcast section as well, very little combat. There was very, very little combat. This is almost entirely story focused. And even when the story doesn't make a ton of sense, it's still enjoyable to be in. There's no like big boss fight for the sake of a boss fight, combat for the sake of combat. Maybe there's some stuff that I missed in terms of other like optional fights. I don't know. But not a lot of combat. Okay, we're in, and Kuja's like, haha, I've trapped you. You're screwed. I'm going to split you up into these different cages, and you might die because there's like lava underneath you, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out like what's going to happen if you do this. So you've fallen right into my trap, and the only way that you can get out, the only way that I'm going to make any kind of deal with you, can you just run to the grocery real quick and pick up I just need one thing. If you're already out, like, I don't, you know, not to inconvenience you, if you're just on the way over, if you could just pick up a gulag stone and then maybe some Ritz, just, you know, if you're out, we have to run an errand for Kuja. Kuja's like, I desperately need this stone, and I can't go get it because there's like an anti-magic field, but you could go get it. And I'm going to give you this giant ship. And then also, because this is a quest, you can take 3 friends with you. We have to fill out a party, so take 3 friends with you on this quest to go to this place. And so I take, everyone knows the number one choice of who I'm taking with me on this quest. There's nothing that anyone could say or do that would keep me away from Steiner. Steiner's there. I take Freya as well. They said anti-magic, and so I figure like Freya is probably a good option for the ultimate thing. I'll probably have to end up fighting over there. And then I also took Quinna. I don't know why. I just felt like Quinna, you know, very loyal, wanted to be with us the whole time. Didn't want to take the white mages because anti-magic. So like, what good are they going to do? And then I don't think I'm ever going to take the Amaranth on anything ever if I don't have to. So there you go. Okay, we're on board of the ship that was given to us, and Pia is basically asking the black mages aboard if they can trust Kuja, because they're like making a little deal here of like, get the stone and then let them go. Great. Who is not going to happen? They're going to ask the black mages if they can trust Kuja, and they're kind of driving the ship. And then Zorn and Thorn show up and are like, ha, I'm Thorn. You can't, they're not going to talk to you. They only talk to us, me, Zorn. Or no, me, Thorn. And so the black mages are only talking to them. Great. We're on the final page of notes. This is actually very exciting.
Oh my goodness, you are flying.
We're flying through on the ship, and the place that we're trying to go is Ulivert. I don't know how you pronounce this. Oilvert, vertigo, oily. I don't know. Oil wheelvert, Huilvert. I don't know. But to get there, you land on this continent, and then you have to start running around. Also, I did see, as we were flying, there was one of those marsh, like, Quinna places near it, but I didn't go there because I don't know why I would. Just to get Quinna more frogs. I don't know. I didn't need to go there. Instead, we run around to Ulivert, and it is such a pain to get here. Like, such a freaking pain. It is just absolutely terrible. There, it is like such a maze. I have to go in, I have to go around. There's like a little circle area. I have to, like, you know, all over the place. And the monsters that are popping out here are not easy to kill either. These are like pretty higher level stuff. I got wrecked by one, and then I went the wrong way and everyone died. So that was unfortunate. Oh, no. And then the other problem here, and I didn't I didn't realize we were going to be like walking so much on this. I sort of thought, given like the giant airship that can travel across land, we would take it across land to the place we needed to go. Not the case. And so I didn't bring any healers with me. No one had any healing for just like this portion before we got to the anti-magic portion. And so I was just like guzzling potions like an addict here, walking around. Great. We get to Ulivert. We get past the non-magic door and we go in. These monsters in here, very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. The one that I'm going to call out, the, I don't know the name of it, but it kept summoning Freya. Freaking Freya kept summoning Freya. This like little armoire came out and was just like popping out Freya. And then Freya, who saw herself, just died. And an instant death. She was just like, this is not computing. There can only be one Freya. And all that Freya was
this saying, is a game about existential crisis.
There's so much. It literally held up a mirror to Freya. And then the other Freya, who was not the real Freya, was like, I'm Freya. And then Freya died. That was the whole sequence of events that was going on. Can you even imagine if that happened to Vivi? Just like, can you even imagine that world?
I mean, Vivi's having an existential crisis over seeing people that look like him.
Yeah, not even him. This is why I'm okay. I want to be very honest with you, dear listeners. I did not really understand this place or what they were trying to tell me. There were holograms all over. There were like switches to flip. I saw depictions of the world, and then there were like little projections of a ship or something like that. At one point, we were like, is this a planet? And then it like lined up with the other thing. And then we see like Mother Terra happening here. Like, this did not track for me. All that really happened, though, we did eventually get into this big room with a bunch of faces, and they were like, man, we really tried to save the Earth, but results are still pending, but also we locked ourselves in here to preserve knowledge, and yeah. And I was just like, I'm only here for the stone. Like, I don't need a history lesson of what's going on here. Just give me the stone. I'll leave. Get out of your hair. Then you can resolve your little problems or whatever. And then we go across to this like very cool elevator, but also would be very dangerous. It's like a circle that goes down, but it's only connected kind of at the sides. We see the stone. We just go to pick it up. And then an airship comes and attacks us. We fight an airship here. It was a somewhat hard battle. The annoying part was they had, I mean, this is a classic move at this point from a lot of people, but they have a move where they just take one character down to one HP, or, you know, one of those type situations. Uh-huh. No matter what their HP is, we're going to take them down to basically no HP so that any hit would kill them. And then it also had quite a few, like, you know, splash damage where it would kind of hit everyone. And so that would be annoying if it gets like Steiner down to one and then also hits like, you know, Pia and Freya as well. So it was a little frustrating, but Quinna was just there to put potions in everyone else's mouths. That's all Quinna was there to do. And that's really all they did. And then Freya was jumping. Steiner's doing so much damage with whatever sword he has attached. Like, he is an absolute beast out there. Pia's like close-ish to that, but probably could be doing more if I optimized it in some capacity. But and then auto potion is huge for not having healers. So that was something I turned on for both Quinna and someone else. I don't remember who, but two people had auto potion, which was really good. But why did we fight an airship in here? What was this?
I am trying to remember. This was in Ulivert.
Yeah, this was like the boss fight after we had seen
the arc.
Stone.
Yeah.
What is the Ark of the Covenant? What are we doing here? What is this?
Well, you know, like the Ark.
But what? But what? What we already did the praying. Why do we have the ark here too? This made no sense to me why we were fighting an airship. Also, the animations never make sense too. Like, what is my sword gonna do? What is Quinna's tongue gonna do to this airship? Like, there's no way that these are actually doing like points of damage. It just didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand why there was an airship fight here. If there had been like some ancient Gaia being here that was like the protector of the stone or something along those lines, I would have been like, okay, that kind of tracks here. But this is like a newly renovated, recently produced ark to like come stop us from getting the stone. This made no sense to me. What was this?
Yeah, it does sort of come out of nowhere. But it's a cursed stone, I guess. It's like when it's like in Aladdin when he's in the, you know, when he goes into Who Dares Disturb My Slumber, and he goes into the cavern that's in the sand lion mouth and he starts taking stuff and then he gets in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
It's like that.
It would be like that, except then also at the end Aladdin has to kick a fighter jet in the mouth. Like, like, okay, I get that I'm stealing from a thing, but the result in Aladdin is this is going to like turn to lava and you're going to get sucked in to the already pre-established place that's there. Here we're like, here's an airship, good luck, go fight it. I don't know,
that's their defense mechanism.
So we have the stone and presumably we're going to be going back. We have reached the final portion of my playthrough here, and it's because while this was happening I had to stop after this. I like couldn't keep playing. We're back.
You also in this time have like walked through the place with the projections that are like, look, here's a planet. Here's another planet. What's that about? More than one planet. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I didn't understand any of this. This all went so far over my head.
I think this is when you have to like turn on all the lights to make the stuff work or something.
We just had to go from place to place and hit the X of like, I would love to be projected this image of a ship. And
you're watching, you're like going through a history museum where they're like projecting little movies for you. Ancient ship.
Maybe it was the Ark. Maybe the Ark was the ancient ship. Someone out there probably like fully understands this and is like
knows the lore. Yeah.
I'm not that guy to know this kind of stuff. So okay, the final thing that I did here in this pretty giant section of game. I'm back with the group, and Kuja is talking to them and be like, well, you know, the only thing I love better than having other people go do my errands for me is murder and going back on my word. I am a big deceit guy, okay? So you're not actually going to be safe, but I will still give a little bit of a timer here for Pia to see if he can come save the day. Otherwise, once this hourglass goes off, you're screwed. You're dead. You're done. And of course, I'm over here like, almost all of these people, I wouldn't be like, you know, there could be a worse group of four if we have to lose half the party. You know, we get the Amaranth over here, fine. Iko, okay. Vivi would be a pretty tragic loss, and Dagger, you know, whatever. But he's like, we're gonna kill him. But thankfully,
Ribbit,
Cid is here to save the day.
Save the day, Ribbit.
I can do this. I can accomplish this thing. And we overhear some black mages talking, and one of them's like, man, don't you remember how to turn off the trap? And they're like, well, I'm a little worried about just stopping and dying randomly, but yeah, I do remember how to turn off the trap. Here, let me explain it to you. Okay. Cid walks over, and we see a giant, not even giant, we see like a creature in a cage that sometimes turns around to look at us. And we play a very high stakes, but also insanely low stakes game of red light, green light.
So tedious.
As Cid takes the slowest steps ever. So the mechanic here is while the creature is facing away from you, a la green light, you can go. You can walk as fast as you can. And the way you do that is by pressing the, for me, it's the X button, to go as fast as you can. Except every time you press it, Sid moves maybe a millimeter. Maybe. I mean, truly, maybe. One step, I think, is probably somewhere close to like 100 clicks.
He is moving in like stop motion animation style.
They went frame by frame with this guy, and we have to do one frame at a time, and it is painful. And this creature turns around frequently. And so I'm over here like at the start of this. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be easy. We've like done stuff like this before in other Final Fantasy games. Just when they turn around, it's not going to be a problem. And then I was like, oh my God, this is moving so slow. And we're on a timer. We're on a 6-minute timer because we have to get to this on a 6-minute timer. And I messed this up a lot of times, to be honest with you. I got caught a lot of times because it's a little finicky. Sometimes the monster moves faster than other times, and sometimes it moves slower. And I'm like, I have to maximize the time when it's turned around because this is taking forever to move. And I was just getting impatient. I was just like, I cannot.
You're only getting like half a step per time he turns around.
Oh, when he gets even closer and the screen like starts to pan over a little bit, I was like, I swear to God, if we have to go through like a whole nother screen.
I know. I had that concern too.
I wouldn't have made it in the 6 minutes. Like, that's all I know. The problem that I have with this, there doesn't really seem to be a problem. There's no punishment if you like go too fast and are getting seen by this creature. Like, you got messed up at the beginning. Like, oh, guess I better go back to the start now that the creature has seen me. Why can we just start again? You're fine right there. What do you mean? And then there are times
the creature's in the cage.
It's in the cage. Why is it even in the cage if we're not? If there's no threat. There's no danger. I don't understand this, Sid. Just go. Grow a pair and let's go. Anyway, we go.
Need some more strange potion.
Yeah, seriously. We're all too able to do it. And we get like the sort of key to the thing that unlocks these little blocks that we can put on a scale to teeter-totter our way up to the thing. And then they're like, well, let me examine these weights a little bit. And
do an elemental math problem.
Let's just do a little weights. And I'm like, okay. In my head, this also took me a second, because in my head, I'm like, okay, I have a scale and four weights. I'm probably trying to make the scale balanced on both sides, because that's what scales do and why I would examine these weights. No. I'm just trying to place the correct number of weight on one side to make it go down enough
so that you can use it as like a step stool to get up to the hourglass.
I mean, I don't want to be overly dramatic here, but I think if you put anything on one side of the scale and nothing on the other side of the scale, you can just pretty easily tilt it in that direction and climb up, no problem. Also, you're a frog. Just hop. Just jump.
He hasn't been a frog that long.
He doesn't know how to jump.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I do think part of it is making it heavy enough so that when he jumps on the other pan, it doesn't immediately crash back down to the ground.
Who cares if it crashes back? This made no sense to me. But he's able to climb up there and then turn around the hourglass, which is enough, I guess. Because at this point, I was like, I have to be done with this. I had been playing for a lot of hours that day. And I was like, okay, we got to the hourglass. Good on you, Sid. Way to save the group. And who knows? They're probably still in some danger. They're at the castle. And then Pia and the gang are coming back with the stone. We'll see what happens with that. Where's Eyeball Lady? Who knows? But that's where I left off here with Final Fantasy IX.
Boy, you did cover a lot of ground in our Yadis, Adam. So we will pick back up next time at the Desert Palace. That's where our story continues soon. But in the meantime, we've made it through Ulaver. We've got the Gulag Stone from Mount Gulag, which is a reference to the original Final Fantasy, where there's also a Mount Gulag, aka Mount Gulg. I think there's one in Final Fantasy 14 also, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time, but there's a lot of references, especially to very early Final Fantasies in Final Fantasy 14, in addition to more recent stuff being Triple Triad for Final Fantasy 8, a game that came out 25 years ago.
Oh yeah, gotta keep things fresh, you know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I have no clue how exactly updates and integrations work, but I wonder if things from like Final Fantasy 16 will end up in Final Fantasy 14 at some point.
Like
or if the world of Final Fantasy 14 only exists with previous Final Fantasies.
Well, are they done releasing more updates to 14? Like, is there any more?
I feel like that never.
Well, no,
there was certainly, like, they did the last official expansion.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. That's what
But there are patches after that.
Sure, so yeah, but there's no, like, full expansion.
No, after. I don't think so. I think they have completed the, what, 5-6 game story arc that is 14.
It's an insanely long story.
Five, yeah. Realm Reborn, Heaven's Word, Stormblood, Shadowbringers, and Endwalker. Yeah.
Heaven's Word was so cool. Yeah. Anyway,
that's our teeny tiny tidbits about Final Fantasy 14 for you today. 16 is coming to PC. We don't know exactly when yet, but they are working on the port. So someday you and I will get to cover 16 on the podcast, which will be fun since Josh and I didn't get to do it in episodic detail. And I would love to replay 16. I really, really enjoyed it. So someday we'll bring you that coverage as well. But in the meantime, do we have time for an It's a Look, Adam?
Let's do a quick one. Just a really quick, who do we got? Who do we need?
Yeah, that's really the question because we didn't get any new friends this week.
We did not get any new friends.
Is it time to finally do Garnet, who after 11 episodes we still haven't talked about?
I think it's funnier if we don't, but okay, let's do Garnet really quick here. Or do you want to, you know what? Would you want to do Sid the Frog?
Sid the Frog?
Okay, all right, not Sid the Frog.
Let's do Garnet, if I can. Garnet Till Exandros, the 17th. Coming your way.
Okay.
In her inexplicable orange jumpsuit.
I'm excited about this. We have not we've really been waiting.
I think we've done all the other playable characters and several not playable characters.
Yeah, several not playable characters. Okay, so I think let's see. Just very classic, you know, dark hair going down. I do like that it's sort of tied at the end, keeping things out
She's
of the way.
She's got the Tifa hair of the, yes. The long down the back, not really a ponytail, but technically gathered.
Yes, technically.
A few inches above the bottom.
Technically gathered is exactly about to be how my family is the next couple of days. The red gloves coming out. There's a lot of gloves in Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. I never wear gloves. I don't know if this is like just a me like situation here. I never wear gloves. Do you wear a lot of gloves? Well,
they're good for fighting. They're good if you use weapons, both to protect your hands and also to protect the metal of the weapon. Because your hands sweat and have oils and stuff, and all of that can deteriorate the usually steel, at that point in time maybe iron, and so you wear gloves to protect the integrity of the weapon and make it less work to clean it or for it to need less cleaning.
Got it.
So that is a practical real world reason why you would wear gloves if you are fighting. Granted, you know, she's using what, like staffs? Not yeah, really a sword wielder like is Garnet, but I like them. I think they're very punk rock, these like red gloves with unnecessary buckles on them. You know, I love a belt and an unnecessary buckle. Speaking of unnecessary buckles, she has them around her thighs.
Yeah, well, it's like an upper knee buckle here.
It's like a garter level, Prince Garter.
Yeah, I don't even really know how to explain this because then it's sort of surrounding the full, like almost full body orange suit. It's like it's skin tight. The only problem I have with this is the color. Like I actually think it looks good, but if you made this like a, it's just not orange, honestly. Like if this was like a dark gray maybe, or
Yeah, it looks cool, anything but nothing about it is period appropriate, including that bright orange. And then the belts, the buckles that are on the thighs, if you look at other pictures, look like they don't actually go all the way around the leg. They're just like from the front around the outside to the back, but they don't go through the inside, the inner thigh. So like, literally, what are they doing? I mean, they're also not holding anything up because it is a one-piece jumpsuit.
Yes.
So it would be like, is it baggy and you need to tighten it in the thigh? Who has ever wanted to do that?
I don't know. Maybe like it has to be cinched in the middle, or else it doesn't
of the leg.
I don't know.
The widest part of the leg.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe for a different body type, it would make sense.
But then she has this like Renaissance-y era, what we would call like a peasant top, this like sort of floofy blouse that is like cinched, ruched around the bust line with the like kind of puffy sleeves. I think those also have some buckles around.
Oh
them.
Yeah, we have to buckle the sleeves for sure. I do like the top, and then of course the piece of this look that I like the most, the shoes.
Boots at the also completely period appropriate, like those look extremely modern, like I'd wear them right now. Ankle boots that match the gloves.
I love these. It's like a very simple, elegant design. I like the color. It's like there is like a heel situation as well, so you get some height. I like the shoes a lot here.
Like stylistically, those are red, mine are black, but I have very similar black ankle boots in terms of like height of the heel, the construct of it, the ankle length.
It does look very modern.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does not make a lot of sense.
The eras are all over the place. I mean, we're in a steampunk Renaissance-ish fantasy world, so like who cares? But it is bizarre.
I also wish that the shoes and the gloves were the same hue of red. Like it does throw me a little bit that they're like, you know, a little off, but
maybe that's a lighting thing in that particular
image. Yeah, it could be. Because
I think if you look at the image we're looking at the top of the wiki is the more modern animation style. Is that what you're seeing when you play? Is that what the Steam version looks like?
Yes.
So I'm playing I played the older, closer to the more original animation. And if you scroll down a bit further and see more what that looks like, it does look like the gloves and the boots are the same. Red.
Okay, interesting.
I think the higher definition, better lighting in the animation is making there's more light shining on the boots than the hands, because the hands are in front of her and the light is shining from behind.
Well, now that we've done Garnet, I don't even know where we go from here. We might have to just call it. We might not have any more characters. This was our...
I think we'll find a way.
Have we done Kujing yet, actually?
I think we did. I will make sure by the next time we do this podcast, we know we have the list.
Okay, that's good. I also think that we're approaching the end of the game. I feel like we are anywhere else. Like I feel like I have played this game for a million hours. Like
you are, I would say, close to halfway through disc 3.
okay. I mean, that's
and then there technically is a disc 4, but disc 4 is very small, and if I remember correctly, mostly side questy things that you won't do.
Okay, so we might only have 1, 2, maybe 3 more podcasts left of this.
I would say at least 3, possibly 4. We'll see.
Okay,
we'll see how things go. You've got holiday. You're going to be technically gathered. What did I say? Technically gathered with your family.
Gathering, yeah.
For the coming days, but we will be back with you all in the new year, if you can believe it, in Final Fantasy IX in 2024. Here we come. Adam, anything you want to let people know about here on what is definitely December 30th, 2023?
Yeah, well, very exciting. First of all, you can find me on Twitter, @PanamaAdam1. We're over at One Describe a Podcast talking about Girls 5 Ever. We just did 13 going on 30. In just 2 days, the start of the new year, January 1st, we are starting a new podcast. I talked about this last time, Previous Little Liars, where we're going through all of Pretty Little Liars, at least season one. We'll see. There's a lot of episodes of Pretty Little Liars, but we're only watching the previously on of each episode. So go check that out over there. Percy Jackson is still going strong. We just did our book club podcast with Brenna. We recorded episodes 1 and 2 as well of that show. I think episode 3 will probably have released at this point as well. So go check that out. That's on Post Show Recaps. Talking Doctor Who. At this point, our Christmas special will have dropped as well. I have not seen it yet, obviously, but we're very excited to talk about that. Talking Monarch, Legacy of Monsters with Todd. That show will be wrapping up in just the next couple weeks. And of course, we'll be back here talking Final Fantasy IX until the end. I love you, Steiner. That's all. That's what I want to leave people with. I love
your
Steiner.
Your parting words for the year. I'm chilling. You can hang out with me on Twitch at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. Probably lots of content coming your way in the near future because I don't have a lot going on, which is fine. It's nice to be hanging out, snuggling my dog while it's cold and dark outside. So thank you all for being here as always. Don't forget to support the podcast at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Have a very happy and safe new year. Good luck to all of us, and we'll see you in 2024.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.